Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Scott McKay, political analyst for the Publix Radio. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning, all.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest Brown University political science professor Ross Chait, who recently stepped down after about 8 years as chairman of the Rhode Island Ethics Commission. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Let's start with the dramatic developments this week in the Democratic presidential race. Joe Biden surprised a lot of people by dominating most of the primaries around the U.S. The Democratic race is now a two-man field, essentially, between Biden and Bernie Sanders. Professor Chait, who do you like in this presidential race?
Well, I think, like many voters, I might need a few days to adjust to all of the developments. Like many professors, I was very taken by Elizabeth Warren, a person who has a plan, a person who can explain things, serious, gets things done. So I was very taken by her, and now I really have to reevaluate and see both what she's going to do and just think about this more, because I had very high hopes for her.
It would have been a fascinating thing to see a debate between Elizabeth Warren and Donald Trump, but that's not going to happen. Certainly, electability was a key issue on the minds of many Democrats. How do you assess that as you make your decision?
Well, first, on Warren, I can't look at it and not conclude that there's real sexism involved here. She was just eminently qualified and never got the break that I think she would have if she'd been a man. So I find that part painful.
Well, let's get Maureen, the female representative of our panel, in on that. We had Governor Raimondo here, I don't know, a month or so ago, and she was saying it's a lot harder for women in politics. What a level of factor do you place on sexism in Elizabeth Warren not making it to the last leg of the Democratic race?
I think it definitely played a role. I think part of her positions you might want to quibble with on the margins. But the fact is, I actually have done some research, and we look at the fact that while we're willing to elect senators and representatives, there seems to be a reluctance for governor and certainly president. It's sort of like the captain of the ship. That's where I think there still is this residue of distrust, and it makes it much more difficult for women to be governors and certainly to be presidential candidates.
Scott, the concern for Democrats now is obviously how primaries can be very bitter and rancorous, and Biden and Sanders are going to go at each other, hammer and tongs. How do you see the fallout from that? Or is there a concern for Democrats, a real concern, that the other side will stay home in November if their candidate is not the nominee?
I don't think so this time, and I think the reason is there is one factor that will galvanize every Democrat in the country. Really, whether you're for Bernie Sanders, Mayor Pete, whatever candidate you're for, Elizabeth Warren, and that is the man in the White House, Donald J. Trump. I really don't think you're going to see a lot of Democrats voting third party this time, going for Jill Stein. I do think that you're going to see a party unified, and, you know, everybody says Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. This time, Democrats are falling in line. They're not falling in love.
Well, let's switch gears to talk about the Rhode Island Ethics Commission. The commission was created back in the 1980s after a wave of scandal. But some critics say the commission should be doing more to police ethics in Rhode Island. They point, for example, to a Providence Journal report showing that some Rhode Island Convention Center board members have relatives who work for the convention center, and a WPRI report that nearly half of Warwick City councilors have relatives who work for that city. Ross Chait, do these examples show that the commission needs to be policing nepotism more aggressively?
Well, there's a real misconception about what nepotism is. Nepotism is hiring your own relatives. Nepotism is not hiring someone else's relatives. So the examples that have been held up do not actually fit the definition of nepotism. I've been sort of following the commentary, and to listen to some people, it sounds like George Knee's relatives should not be allowed to work anywhere in the public sector.
Nonetheless, to some people, this reinforces the image that Rhode Island is a know-a-guy kind of place where you have to know someone or be related to someone. Is there a role for the Ethics Commission in this kind of situation? Or are you saying this is such a small state that it's kind of inevitable that these situations will result?
I'm certainly saying it's inevitable. I'm also saying I think what you're describing is politics. And I don't think that any commission can or should regulate what we might call cronyism. I think the voters can regulate that. But I can't imagine a sensible rule that would have a commission deciding which friends or which relatives of someone else are and are not appropriate to hire. And I haven't heard anyone's recommendation around this current controversy as to exactly what rule should be imposed.
Let's go to a question from Maureen.
There is a case pending with the Supreme Court Justice Flaherty, and he's got a gripe against the Ethics Commission for a $200 fine that was levied at him because he did not disclose that he was a member of the Thomas More Society, and that was on the form, and he didn't include it. He's fighting this now. What's your take on that?
Well, I have two takes. One take would be that what the commission did was apply the law to him exactly the same way we've applied it to everyone else. And no more lenient, no more strict, exactly the same way. I think that he wanted to be treated differently. And I don't think that the law permits that, and I don't think that that's how people want the law enforced. That said, I want to be totally clear that what I think he did is the equivalent of a traffic ticket. I'm sorry that he's making a federal case out of a traffic ticket, but it's an important traffic ticket. If we can't, as a commission, hold people responsible for putting in inaccurate information unless you can prove they did it intentionally, the whole system of financial disclosure will fall apart.
First of all, he didn't get any money for this. I think this is a very, very slippery slide. You've got one arm of government, the Ethics Commission, going after a judge, sanctioning a judge for his religious affiliations. I think that's something that Roger Williams would be very, very, very upset about. I don't care if you're a Congregationalist, Catholic, Jew, Muslim, or an atheist. I'm not sure that this is a chowder and marching society. It isn't really anything that's anybody's business. He's not getting any money from this.
Let's give Professor Chait an opportunity to respond to that.
I'd say two things. First, we certainly didn't go after him. We responded to a complaint. So a complaint is filed, and we treat the complaint exactly like we treat...
No, but you sanctioned him.
Right, because he left something off that's clearly required to be put on.
And I want to add to that, I don't think it is a marching chowder society. The Thomas More Society has a reputation of being very political. They sponsor the Red Mass. Frank Williams, when he was Chief Justice, would send out invitations on Supreme Court stationery, inviting all the lawyers in the state to attend this event. They stopped doing that, but it has political overtones. Irrespective of why you did or did not choose to go, you know, to apprehend him or fine him, the fact is it has a political text to it, and there's no place for that in the public sector.
But also, Scott, it's not for his religious affiliation. If he'd disclosed it, there'd be no issue at all. It's for not disclosing it. It's not for the content of his affiliation.
I don't know. I think everybody knows Frank Flaherty. He's been around politics for a long time. Everybody knows he's Catholic. Everybody knows what his politics are. He didn't get any money from this. I think this is more oversight than anything else. And when you describe it as a traffic ticket, I do think it's a traffic ticket with principle behind it, but I think you're right. It's kind of de minimis and not a big deal.
Yeah, and I've never viewed it as a big deal, and enough said.
And that's all the time we have. So thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Brown University Professor Ross Chait.
My pleasure.
As usual, you can find a lot more on our website at thepublicsradio.org. I'm Ian Donis.